You know, God does some miraculous things. And sometimes we even get to watch. Have you ever noticed that? I was in Korea and I was teaching a Bible class there to the folks that were coming to our English school. And they would sometimes ask things that, you know, I would never think of. I could go a long, long time, several lifetimes, and never think of some of the questions they asked while we were there. And I remember one question particularly was difficult. I'm sitting in Bible class, and we're talking about being kind to others. And one of the students said, why, if you are a Christian and you believe in being kind to others, why don't you protest your government and nuclear weapons? How do you answer that? You know? And so I'll tell you how I answered. I answered by praying, God help me. Right? That's how I answered. I sent up a prayer right away. God, I need your help. I need some answers here. I need something, and I need it now. I got all these eyes looking at me. What am I going to say? And so I said, here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to open my mouth. And you're going to have to put something in there. Because I have no idea what to say. My mind just went totally blank. I had no idea what to say or do. And so I said, here I am. I'm going to open it. You fill it. And so I went like this. And it's amazing because I'm not sure which was more wide open. My mouth or my eyes. You know how it is when you're surprised. It's like, right? And I don't know whether they were surprised at what I was saying, but I was surprised at what I was saying. Because God put stuff in my mouth. And I said to them, let's suppose I was really successful and got all the nuclear weapons destroyed from the whole earth. Wouldn't that be great? And they were all, oh, that'd be, you know, that'd be so wonderful. I said, no, it wouldn't. And they're like, what? How can that not be wonderful? What's wrong with you? And I said, because as soon as a war started, the scientists would be right back there building new ones. And they said, ooh, that's right. And I said, the real problem is men's hearts, and that's what God is doing. And that's why I'm here today. And they took a step back and they were like, wow, you really are working against nuclear weapons, aren't you? I said, uh-huh. That's what it's all about. You see, by changing men's hearts, we can change the world. And that's the business God's in. That's what God's business is. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 35, where God was in the business, even back then, of changing hearts. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 35. And we'll watch God again. We'll watch God as He leads forward to the past. Genesis chapter 35. Beginning with verse 1. I'm still hearing pages turn. I'll wait. Go ahead. Genesis 35. All right, you with me? Genesis 35, beginning with verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Now you'll remember that story about Jacob fleeing from Esau, right? And he went to Bethel and he laid down there, he put a rock for a pillow. A rock. I've never thought of a rock as a pillow. Fortunately, I've never needed to, I guess. But even my pillow, regular pillow, seems hard sometimes. So So he went there and God appeared to him that night, remember? And he made an altar there to the Lord. And he made vows there to the Lord. Do you remember those? Do you remember all of that story? That's right. And so now God is telling Jacob, go back there. Go back there. And now he's telling him to dwell there. You see that? He says, go up to Bethel and dwell there. God is telling him to go back to this place. He's telling him that his future lies where he started his journey by coming back to God. He's going back to following God. And he was telling him to build an altar there, to think back where he had made his vows to God and to build an altar there. I wonder if you remember back in your experience some time where you made vows to God. Do you remember those days when you made that kind of move with God? Do you remember? Maybe it was when you were in trouble. God, get me out of this and I'll never... You know that one, right? You've been through that one, right? I'm sure. And then maybe it was at your baptism. God, from this day, I'm going to follow you. You remember? You remember how serious you were with God when you made those vows. On those occasions, we get pretty serious about God, don't we? We get real serious with God. We think back. And maybe it's time for us to revisit those places, to go back to Bethel, the house of God. Maybe it's time to go back there. And maybe it's time not to just go back to for a visit, but like God was telling Jacob here, go back to Bethel and dwell there. Live there. Make your home there. Make it your place to be, back where you were really serious with God. Maybe it's time to revisit that. And then we see here that Jacob, in the last chapter, maybe you remember what the last chapter was about. Many of you who've been reading through chronologically with me, remember we started that this year. You've been reading through chronologically through the Bible. You read this week, remember? And so you probably remember what chapter 34 was about, where Dinah had been a little indiscreet, you recall? She went out to see the women of the land. That's where it started, you know. And while she was out there, a fellow saw her and used her. And then the brothers of Dinah, they did bad things, you remember? And Jacob, do you remember what Jacob said? The people around him would think that the brothers had made him stink, to stink before the people of the land. And so, Jacob here is feeling a little bit bad because in his sons, in his own family, not his servants, not the people out in the field that were never connected much with Jacob. This was Jacob of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was not just a guy who just happened to be there, nice guy and everything. This was a man with a true relationship with God, yes? And this was not just his servants way out in the field that watched his sheep, but this was his own sons who had done this cruelty. This was his own sons who had been so wrathful, who had been so deceitful. And that reflected back on Jacob. And he's thinking about his relationship with God. And I think it's interesting that God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Maybe Jacob had gotten just a little too comfortable among the Canaanites. You think that's maybe possible? Is it possible for us to get too comfortable here in the land of Canaan and forget that this world is not our home, that we're just a passing through, that our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Isn't it true? And so maybe Jacob needed to arise, shake off this comfortable nest that he had, and go up to Bethel again to think back on how serious he was before, to come back to knowing God fully, to really making his life a dwelling in Bethel, the house of God. And so we see here God leading Jacob back to purity. We watched God leading forward to the past. Now we're watching God lead him to purity, to put away these things, to get rid of stuff that was not helpful in his walk, to put aside that comfort that led him to neglect the people's real needs that were around him. And so we have verse 2. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments." Wait a minute. This is Jacob's own household. What? Foreign gods in Jacob's own household? How was that possible? Where did they come from anyway? How did they sneak in the back door? Have sometimes something snuck in your back door without you noticing? Have you noticed how in Canaan, modern Canaan, modern the world, that murder is entertainment? Did you ever notice that? Oh, it's true. Turn on any TV show almost. Murder, deception, all kinds of stuff. It's what we watch for entertainment. To relax. What? What? Is it possible that foreign gods have snuck in our back door while we weren't watching? Are we watching things at home that if I were to show it up here, you might be embarrassed to know that it came from your house? Ooh, got your toes rolled up behind you here, don't you? Look at what Jacob says. He said to his household, to those who were right there nearest him, and to those who were with him, all of his servants, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves." No, we need the Holy Spirit to purify us. I understand that, but there's a work we can do. There's a thing that we can do. We can get rid of some of this stuff. We can do this. He says, "Purify yourselves and change your garments." You know, there was similar words, I guess. Similar injunction given at Sinai with Moses when he was telling the people as they came out from Egypt to get ready to meet God at the mountain. He told them then in Exodus 19:10, to be preparing for God by cleaning the garments. Get rid of stuff. Put things away that are not good. To really be prepared to meet God. I wonder, are we Adventist? And what does that mean? Do we really believe that Jesus is coming soon? Or do we live like we're just going to be here in Canaan for a really long time? And it's okay. It's okay? Is it okay? Is it okay to stay in Canaan? Are we happy here? Or are we looking for the soon coming of Jesus? Are we Adventist? You see? Are we really looking forward to that? If so, if we believe it's imminent, if we believe it's near, if we believe it's soon, shouldn't we be getting ready? Shouldn't we be cleaning up? Shouldn't we be putting away the foreign gods? Shouldn't we be getting clean and changing our garments? It's time to get ready, get ready. I think there was a church in Revelation chapter 3 that had a similar need. And we find in Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14, that in fact, there are a group of people that get ready. How do we know they're ready? Let's take a look. Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, looking at these that are worshiping God in verse 12, it says in verse 13, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these? Arrayed how? In white robes.'" Yes, they're in white robes. They've cleaned their garments. "Who are these? And where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of..." Yes, or we could even say Canaan. And they've gone up to Bethel, the house of God, yes? And they've washed their robes. They have washed their robes. They were ready for the Lamb by having washed their robes in His blood. They got ready to meet with God. Maybe it's time to let God purify us again. Remember back again in your own experience when you made those vows to God, when you were serious with God, you made sure your act was pretty cleaned up, didn't you? You made sure that you had confessed your sins before you went into that baptismal tank, didn't you? You made sure that things were right between you and God, that there was nothing between. It didn't matter what it was, you'd get rid of it. You'd take it away. Dirty garments? No problem. We'll get rid of those. Household gods? Never mind those. I'm done with those things. I'm finished with it. I put them away. And that's what they did. Look at verse 4. "So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands." They got rid of it all. They gave it away. They didn't hang on to them. They didn't try to hide them. And wasn't there something about somebody stealing gods from Laban? Yeah, even those gone. The ones that were hidden from her own father, gone. Took care of that. Got rid of it. Nothing left. Now, watch God as He leads to the ring of truth. You see, these people had for a long time simply been part of Jacob's household. They lived with Jacob. Jacob worshipped the true God. Well, we over here, we keep a few little things. Little gods just in case. But now, as they thought back on how the true God had moved in the life of Jacob, had been working in their own lives, had been leading and guiding all the way through, they began to rethink this. They began to remember what God had done. They began to realize, I need a relationship with God that is clean and pure. Everything else put away. Everything else gone. They began to not live. Are you with me here? They began to not live Jacob's religion to God. Now they began to live a relationship to God themselves. You see that? Because now it wasn't hiding stuff from Jacob as though Jacob were the one that would make a difference if he found out, but God, knowing all, wouldn't matter. You see, it's not whether the pastor sees what you watch on television. Don't live your religion to me. Have a relationship with God yourself is what we're talking about. That's what they did. That's what they did. They had a relationship with God that went beyond the people around them. It was a relationship not based on what others did, but a relationship based on God Himself. That's what we need. That's where we need to go. And so, in doing that, watch what happens. Verse 4, are you with me? It says, not only they gave all the foreign gods which were in their hands, but it says more. Look at what it says. And the earrings which were in their ears. Wow. You see, they realized as God was showing them the truth that there were other things that could come between them and God. Things that maybe other people thought were okay. But they might come between me and God anyway. And they wanted nothing between them and God. Clear out everything that had even the remotest possibility of coming between me and my God. I don't want anything between us. Do you remember that fire burning in your heart? Maybe you experienced it just this morning, praise God, as you were in your own devotional. Praise God. Let's go back. Let's revisit that. Let's go there again. Let's dwell there where it's God who's burning in our hearts and nothing gets in between. These people, as they turned back to God, were not only willing to just say, I want to get rid of those things that evidently are clearly those things that are supposed to take me away from God. You know, the foreign gods, but even the things that would draw attention to me and make me the God, because don't I look nice? All of those things put aside. It's not about me. It's not about how great I am. It's about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why we go this route. That's what God is looking for. A relationship that isn't based on anything else but you and God. And how He's moving in your heart. Making a difference in your life. Telling you what it's time to get rid of. What to clean up. What garments to wash. And you, in relationship with Him, say, yes, Lord. Whatever you ask, nothing's too big. Did God say, well, that I'm not doing for them. I love them, but I'm not going to do that. A cross? Not dying for them. Is that what Jesus did? Or was He willing to give all for us? Can we do less for our God? Wow. Let's be willing to give up these things for God. You see, these people didn't want to just be part of the family of Jacob, the family of God, while they did their own thing, be the name but not the power. They wanted the power of the Holy Spirit to run through them as well, to make a difference in them, to be different because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God showed them that jewelry, their rings and earrings and things might just be drawing their attention away from God. And they gave it up. And so they listened to God. And they were happy in their own souls as they responded to God and He responded to them. And so look what happened there again, verse 4. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. You know what it's like sometimes with our sins? We want to give up our sins. And I'm just using an example. It's like we had a pork chop in the fridge that we intended to eat, and we want to give up our sins. So we say, Lord, I want to give up this pork chop. So we stick it in the freezer. It's not really gone, but you can't eat it right away. See? We'll just kind of stick it over here for a while. No. When Jacob dealt with these things, they were gone. They buried them there and walked away. They left. Gone forever. Done with it. It's history. We don't go back. We don't dig it up. It's gone. We don't pull it out in thought. Jacob buried it. It was complete gone. A break. A complete break from the past. You see, these people had a genuine revival, is what we would call it today. A genuine revival. That's what God did for the family of Jacob. And God wants to do that for us today. Right here in Lakeland today. But not just today. He wants us to dwell there. Revived for Him. You see, your church board feels very strongly about this. So strongly that we want to give you a tool. We want to give you a tool. Gentlemen, those of you who are working with me here, your church board believes that your revival, your relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than dead presidents. Am I making sense here? And so we want to give each of you a tool. A tool that will help us in this revival. A tool that will take us down the road to Bethel, away from Shechem, where there was cruelty, where there was hatred, where there was deception, and take us to Bethel, the house of God. We are putting these in your hands to make a difference in your life, not just to give you more reading material. We're not putting these in your hands just so you can know more. If all you want to do is know more, please pass the book past you. It's not about knowing more. It's about experiencing that revival that will take us on the road to Bethel. It's about knowing God and really wanting to make a difference. That's what it's about. And that's important to us as a church, isn't it? To know God, to be in a relationship with Him, to be in such a relationship with Him that nothing comes between us. Nothing comes between us and God. Not our jewelry, not our meat, not our television. None of these things come between us and God. We are willing to listen when God comes to us and says, it's time to put away these foreign gods. It's time to clean our garments and purify our lives. And it's time to allow me to really make a difference in your life again. Now, maybe each day you do that. Praise God. You're on the way to Bethel already. Praise the Lord. Maybe you this morning, once again, thought about Paul saying, I die daily. And you agreed with the Lord, Father, take my life. Let it be wholly consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And praise God, if you did that just this morning, praise the Lord. Keep walking to Bethel, to the house of God. That's what we're hoping to do, is to help you on that walk. Now, here's the plan. If you're going to open it, be sure you're careful with the cellophane. We've got trash bags out there. Take it with you. Put it in the trash bags, okay? I wanted to make sure that cellophane didn't end up all over our sanctuary, okay? I want you to take a look at the table of contents. Table of contents. You'll notice there are 7 chapters. We'll spend approximately the next 2 months going through this little book together. Sabbath mornings, right here. Okay? No, I'm not going to read you the book. That's the idea. You're reading it ahead of time. All right? So next week, our chapter we're going to be thinking about is what? Prayer and revival, right? Prayer and revival. And if you look at that chapter, you'll see that it starts on page 7. And it goes through to page, where is it? All right. I want to take you to page 26. Are you with me? It doesn't actually have a page number at the bottom, but it's page 26. Page 26. Am I wandering too close to the monitors? I thought so. I finally figured it out. After half an hour, he finally figures it out. Sorry. I make life difficult for these guys, and they let me just go right on. Okay, take a look. Page 26, it says, my personal application. I'm hopeful that before you arrive here next Sabbath, that you will have read this chapter. It takes about 30 minutes or less. I've timed it with some people. It'll take you less than 30 minutes to read this. But then I want you to look at this personal application. And I want you to start putting it into practice in your life this week. Am I making sense here? I want to be very practical with your religion. I want your godliness to be very practical, not some pie in the sky. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's real, that touches the ground. I want you to love the Lord with all your heart. That's all. That's it. I have no other purpose. And so I hope that you will take this, and we'll think about this chapter as we come back together next week and on as we go along. Thank you. He's taking care of you as we speak. And so I want you to be very serious about this, to go through this because you have a relationship with Jesus, because you're making a commitment, because you are back at Bethel and you're building that altar to God here and now. Will you make that commitment today? That's what we're asking. That you will make that commitment today. That you are here in this place because the Holy Spirit drew you here, and now you're saying, yes, I want this relationship that I have with God not to just be an add-on, but to make a difference, to be the basis of my life. I am going to dwell in Bethel. And then your life will have the ring of truth.